You know, it. I mean, we get to reset the everything, you know, this time of year for each of us, right? I mean, we think about, you know, every newspaper over the last week has had a front page story about how now's the time to join the gym. And so we lean into those New Year's resolutions. And this morning, I just wanted to lean into just sort of a conversation with you about just how do we do a fresh start? I know many of you do that, possibly, but many of us, I think there's things that come against us. I mean, I was reminded even this morning as we sat in the adult ed hour, as we talked a little bit about this idea of how the evil one or Satan takes our lives and twists it. And again, this could be just a little promotion for the conversation we're going to have during the adult ed hour for the next couple of weeks. I would invite you to come and join us. Andy Stanley is leading a dialogue that we're unpacking about how it is that there's things in our lives that get twisted just a little bit. And then our view of ourselves and maybe our view of our circumstances change the way we see how we see ourselves in the mirror. And we sometimes forget how God sees us. Now, some of you have asked this morning already, you know, so how was your vacation? Because I did take a week off and grateful. Matt was great, very grateful for your generosity of spirit. He said, you know, texted me right away about noon on Sunday last week just to say, and I think we were somewhere south of Louisville, Kentucky, maybe headed down to Atlanta. And Matt just said, what an amazing group of people. And so thank you for your just loving on him and being who you are, because that was a huge blessing to him. But one of the things that Melinda and I have done for the last 4 years, and it's a way, it's not really a vacation. And it's crazy because it costs us money for a hotel room. It costs us our time and our energy, but we do it because it brings to us life. There's an organization called Passion. This is actually their 21st year. They gather around this time every year. This year we had 30,000 college students in our venue, the Phillips Arena, which is their Quicken in downtown Atlanta. We actually had 17,000 because they're renovating the space, but it was sold out. It was a Monday evening, all day Tuesday and Wednesday up till about noon of students gathering together and hearing some proclamation of God's word into their lives about how they need to be engaged in the culture. And the last speaker in particular, and so this is where I love how God weaves together. We plan these things out. Sheila just told me she would have a solo for this morning. I didn't know it was going to be Jerry, and I didn't know it was going to be that particular song. But I want us to see that when we pull back and look at how God orchestrates our lives, that solo Jerry shared to remind us that we don't do life by ourselves. No different than to say to these 30,000 students in three different venues, and it was cool to hook them all up with technology, and it was amazing because they actually had, you know, three different stages, and it was very high-skilled production where there were actually musicians in all three venues, and they were singing the same songs at the same time. It's like, I don't know how you do that, because we can't even sometimes hear in our little space with, you know, to get it right. And it's just, you can imagine the technology there. And one of the venues was in Washington, D.C., because the group that organizes this conference, Passion, Louis Giglio, who is a good friend of Andy Stanley's, they are planning a church in Washington, D.C., and so they intentionally did a venue there. But this picture is just one that I shot, and I don't know if you can really see it, but this was it. Melinda and I were responsible. There's 800 of us. They're called door holders. The idea of the door holder comes from a psalm where David talks about how it would be better to be a door holder in the king's kingdom than it is to do anything else. And so we just serve the students. These young people are being challenged right there. They've got their hands raised. It was the last session. It was just before we were ready to head out. There was a woman by the name of Priscilla Shire, who is one of the Lifeway teachers. Priscilla is just an amazing woman who talks about and was talking to these students in particular. And this is what really sort of buoyed us as we left, really sort of gave us. She talked to them about, look, if you show up here and you only lean into these 2 days and this doesn't radically make a difference in your life, then it's been wasted. But you need to know that part of what you need to do is God's children, as sons and daughters of the king, is to lean into all that God has for you. And let me just give you a quick little clip of just some of her final words to these students. So just watch this. Go back to the picture. So right after she got done preaching this, she asked the students to if they were willing to live a life of holiness. Now, I don't know about you, but in today's culture, in today's generation, that to me, I thought was an extraordinary question to ask these students. Now, I get it. It's like everything else. We go to these conferences, and we've all been there. Women of Faith, Promise Keepers. We go, and we breathe the oxygen, and we get encouraged for the moment. But I think it was really interesting that we've done this now a number of years. It was just interesting how Priscilla really challenged these young people and challenged us to, are we willing to live a life of holiness? And I think the one quote that I love that's in this particular clip is where she says, we need to live for the applause of one. And are we willing to do that? And so this morning, I want us to lean into just a little bit of a conversation, thinking about a fresh start in a new year, to think about what we, and it's going to be sort of double tasked here. I want you to think about yourself and your own faith journey, but I also want you to think about us as a church, about the journey that we are on the things that God has called us to be a part of. And he's called you to be a part of, and we just demonstrated that, those of us that said yes to being elders for another season, deacons for another season, that's work. It's work and it's energy. You're not quite sure what it's going to bring. And so in that, as God's people, I want us just to lean into some things to think through. How do we have hope in action? Because the truth is, we all say this, I hope I can do this. I hope I can accomplish this. I hope that things will happen. I hope that if we do Christmas Eve in a new way, that we'll get some new friends who will show up to be guests here on Christmas Eve, or the things we do in the community. I hope. But you see, hope does nothing without a plan. Hope does nothing if we don't map it out. And so let's begin first with some prayer, and then I just have some ideas I want to lay out in front of us very quickly this morning. So God, thank you. Thank you for the challenge that you lay down with a new year, that we get to reset the clock. At least we can reset it at any time, but there's something about beginning this year anew, and how we can, as your people, individually and corporately, offer a fresh start to ourselves, to what you've called us to be a part of. And so thank you for the privilege. Thank you for, again, to be sitting in a building that people years ago thought about and planned, and even people before that were in a building downtown, and what that meant, and the presence they have in this community. And God, help us as we lean into our next season, our next chapter, our next century, how we can be your people of action, to move us in a way that helps us understand who we are individually as men and women, young and old, who have been saved and redeemed by you, Jesus, but also realizing that there is a corporate nature that we take on to accomplish here in the community. And so God, send your Holy Spirit, take the words that I've penned, take our thoughts together this morning, and we offer them to you as your sons and daughters. And we just pray your Holy Spirit to be with us as we encounter you in a fresh way this morning at this time. And we just ask it now in Jesus, in your most precious name. And all God's people said, amen. So, I mean, we go into the new year, most of us, so we want to be better. Usually think in terms of four categories: about our relationships, about our finances, about our physical well-being, about our spiritual well-being. We know that there's actually, like I mentioned, that all the gyms have sort of, they put in extra equipment, but I can also tell you that by the third week of January, they tell you they moved all the equipment back to the back room because nobody stays engaged. I mean, how many of us in any of these one areas want to be better? I don't know. I think I do in all four of these areas. And so as we start this year, I want you to finish this statement. If you pull out your worship program, there's a question there for you where it says, this year I hope to. Now, maybe you aren't going to fill that in today, and you might want to think about it later, but I want you to ponder that. I mean, I hope to have a stronger marriage. I hope to pay off student debt. If you're a student, I hope to overcome an addiction. I hope to be healthier. I want to maybe start serving in the church in a different way. I want to be strong spiritually. So this year, I hope to. And that hope to, though, I want us to see that we can hope to do all sorts of things, but if we don't map out a plan of hope, of what that hope is going to look like, we're never going to get there. This year, I don't think any of us are going to say, I want to gain an extra 40 pounds. I want to raise my blood pressure to a dangerous level, and I want to put myself at risk for a heart attack. I don't think any of us are going to say that. And this year, I don't think any of us are going to say, I'm going to blow my emergency fund. I'm going to get into an extra $20,000 or $30,000 worth of debt. I don't think any of us are going to say that either. We want things to be better. And here's what we have to realize. And I want us to understand this in a very clear way, and I want to show you some scripture this morning to help unpack that. Hope in and of itself changes absolutely nothing. It's our actions that we take that changes things. We need a plan. Hope can be the catalyst for the change, but actions are what gets us there. The Bible talks about this. It's not just a New Year's resolution or a motivational speech. I want you to look at this. The Word of God says this, to put hope in action. We see it here. So look at this from Paul. Paul says what? Put all your hope, all your what? Hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. Now, what's interesting is I actually started in the middle of this verse, so go to the next slide. Because he starts with this. He starts before he says what he just said. He says, so prepare your minds for what? Action and exercise self-control. In fact, in one of the versions of the scriptures actually says this word self-discipline. So you see, putting hope in action will take discipline. But what's discipline? Well, what is discipline? Well, it's this. Discipline is choosing what you want, what? Most over what you want now. Discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. You know, so I want to ride my bike 5 days a week. But I know that if I want to have a relationship with my family, my wife, I have to figure out how to make that happen. Or if I want to be a faithful pastor and to do the things that I want to do in my community, obviously I can't do that. But there is a way to take my energy on riding a bike to keep myself healthy, to put me in a relationship with people who maybe don't know Jesus. And in that relationship and in that opportunity to actually create a friendship. You see, we have to be intentional with all these things. The discipline that we're talking about, you have to choose what you want most over what you want now. And so I want us to just to look here real quickly at just three simple things that I want you to see how we take this idea of hope and actually put it into action. So the first one is define the problem. And we're going to look at this. We're going to look at this through the lens of one of the Old Testament books, the prophet Nehemiah. And Nehemiah had this task. And let me just set it up a little bit. He was a Jewish man who served the Persian king Artaxerxes, and his responsibility was the cupbearer. That's all he had to do. Basically, he only had to do one thing, and that's to drink the king's wine. That could be a good thing, right? Now, the problem with that is the reason he had to drink the king's wine is to make sure it wasn't poisoned. So there was a risk there for him. And Nehemiah had some friends that just returned from Jerusalem, and he asked them how things were going there. And this is what Nehemiah says. Check this out. He said, they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in, what? Great trouble. Great trouble. Not just trouble. It's great trouble. And they are in disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. It is a mess. It is a flipping mess. And it's not just a little bit of trouble. It's like my grandfather used to use the word when he would tell me he wanted something now, he would say, I want it right now. Not now. I mean, I want it right now, which is his idea. I needed to take it up a step as I worked with him. It's important for us to note that there was this significance of the idea of the wall around the city in that time. It was the greatest protection that they had. It was actually their security from their enemies. The people living there were vulnerable and at risk, and the enemies could easily come in and attack them. You see, Nehemiah just didn't have hope things would get better. He actually defined the problem. And in doing that, he actually then leans into understanding, okay, what am I going to do to solve it? And so you might have been defining a problem for yourself for years, even us as a church. But until we lay out a plan for what God wants to do and will do, we really can't move forward. I mean, even the idea of Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down for 152 years. It isn't like it just happened. It was almost 152 years. And so Nehemiah basically says, somebody needs to end this disgrace. This is wrong. This is the most amazing city in Nehemiah's eyes, and it's where God actually visits and engages, and so we need to establish this city once again. And now I'm going to guess that in your own life, and whether we think about it as individuals or we think about it corporately as a church, for many years we have been trying to do things and you haven't been successful. And as much as you don't want to admit it, maybe there's those things. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's the relationship with your children. Maybe it's a relationship with a family member. And yet, at the same time, you never thought that these things could sort of come to in such a way that could be positive. And yet, if we look at what God desires for us, we need to lean into being in community with each other. See, the reality is you can't defeat what you don't define. Think about that. You can't defeat what you don't define. So if you don't name it and write it down, I mean, even two nights ago, Melinda and I sat at the kitchen table and we walked through a list of things, and we've not really done this before, but that's because we've decided this year it's going to be different. And we actually wrote some things out about some goals that we have, both for us personally, both for us in our financial situation, both of us in terms of our home, things we would like to do and see done. And I actually went to bed thinking, I've never done that. And that was such an amazing feeling to have that, to actually say, okay, here it is. Because so many of us live in the tyranny of the urgent. We want to map these things out, but then the reality comes that things come at us and we're not quite sure how to push into it. So Nehemiah, if we look at him for just a moment, he calls it out, he makes it clear, and he says, this is the problem. And then one day, just like when we read here in Nehemiah, you turn the page and you say, we're going to rebuild this wall. And from this point forward, it's going to be different. And so you literally turn the page. Whatever that page is turning, whether it's you individually in your own situation or it's us as a church, how do we turn a new page and how do we move into what it is that God desires for us? Because you see, there's things that we tend to lean into that maybe aren't healthy for us. Maybe there is issues between you and your spouse. You know, this idea that this year, the way we're going to, it may be awkward and hard, but we're going to lean into that. Or there may be a family member where you're going to lean into that. Or you're going to even suggest that you're going to attend church more consistently because of the faith opportunities that come here and serving together. They're going to make it a priority. Or how about this one? I'm committing to read God's word daily. One of the things that we lack, and me included, is we are not in God's word. We do not take this book and put it in practice into our lives. I just started a Bible plan on YouVersion. Do you know it's amazing? This technology, you don't even have to read it. In fact, if you go on to YouVersion, you can download a Bible plan. It will actually, this is amazing because you think about how much time it takes. You can actually tell it to read to you at three times the speed. So if you can hear and consume it at that level, you don't even have to. You think about how quickly you could read through a book by just hitting the fast forward button. But the idea is that we need to find time within our day to allow God to speak to us. And if we're not reading his word, then it's a problem and we won't know what he wants us to do. You know, last year was a different story. I'm on a new page now. That's the way we need to approach this. That's the way we need to turn a new page. Now, you see, things can also be painful and things can be unstable and they can be rocky for a long time, and that it becomes our normal and we don't realize that we are in, as Nehemiah said, great trouble, like Jerusalem, and that our lives are in ruins and that maybe they're even in disgrace. Nehemiah says that these walls, maybe even in our own lives, and this is where it gets at, you know, sort of messy for us when we think about it, in our own lives are broken down and we're vulnerable and we're put at risk, and our spiritual enemy can easily come in and attack us. And I think that was the thing that was interesting as we sat this morning in Adult Ed, just being reminded of, and without going into the messiness, just the idea of looking at the definition of family, you know, understanding how family has changed in our culture. And we can make all sorts of pontifications about whether it's good or bad, but it's changed. And as I was reading the 1828 version of Webster's definition of family, the things he included in the family are far, so far from what today is what we would call a nuclear family. And yet it's in those things that the slow shift to a different understanding that you think about how much has happened in the nation of Israel and Judah there in Jerusalem with the walls being torn down for 152 years. That there was some things that they just didn't quite get anymore. Partly because there had been three or four generations that literally had been there and been in leadership and passed away and were no longer there to offer God's word. So I want us to be encouraged. It's in the places of our biggest problems that we can show God's greatest glory. And so back to that short clip from Priscilla Shire, just to say to these students, you need to understand there is something coming at you. And she went on to say before you leave this arena, there are going to be things. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be things that you're going to think about yourself. There's going to be all sorts of things that are going to come at you because that's what the evil one wants to do. And so don't believe in that. And she went on then to unpack out of Galatians chapter 5, where Paul talks about the armor of God and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, of living lives that are holy. In order to put hope in action, we need to, one, define the problem, and then number two is this, to diligently seek God. And we see Nehemiah do this. In fact, he does this. Nehemiah says what? Here in verse 4, when I heard this, what did he do? He sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, and I fasted, and I prayed to the God of heaven. I mean, I don't know about you, but in the messiness of our lives, I'm not sure that we've really leaned into that. In your own story, or even us as a church, the idea of sitting down and weeping about not only our inability sometimes to be to the community what it is that God has called us to be, but even the church within this larger community, the messiness that is there, the brokenness of the lives that need to know the healing power of who Jesus is. You see, there is a reality of sadness, and so what Nehemiah does, he sits down to cry, and then he kneels to pray. So the moment he defined the problem, that Jerusalem is in great trouble and in disgrace, he diligently took it to the one who could help him. So when you have a vision to do something, you're going to need the God of heaven to help you. That's the problem in most of our journeys, is that we can't do this by ourselves. In order to do this of what God, whatever this is, you fill in the blank, this, whatever that is, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to have more income, all these things are directly related to our understanding of who we are as sons and daughters of God. I mean, think about it. When you diligently seek God, it will change how you think, and the motives of your heart will lead you to a new action. Think about that. When you diligently seek God, it will change how you think, and it will change the motives of your heart, and it will lead you in a new action. I mean, maybe it's when you held that child the first time. You want to walk that little girl down the aisle one day. I mean, think about those kinds of experiences. Perhaps it's when you get a late payment or eviction notice and you realize enough is enough. I refuse to allow this to happen again. Or you're determining this is the hope that you are putting in the action, and you are seeking God for his power to help you change. You see, that's where we have to go to every time. That it's about working in the tension between doing what we have to do, and that's going to be the next point here in just a second, and then realizing that we can't do it without God's favor and his help. I mean, we saw this to begin to happen when Nehemiah starts to pray and fast after hearing the news that the walls in Jerusalem were a mess. And we then see how he speaks to the king to get permission to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall, and how God gave him favor to do all of this. So it may have been easy for Nehemiah to think that's terrible and write a detailed Facebook post complaining about the problem. I mean, that would have been real easy. And then go on with his life. He wasn't a mason or a builder. He was a professional drinker. I mean, think about that for a moment. I mean, that's what he got paid to do, literally. A job some of us would like to have, but none of us should have, right? That's a little pun there to think about. He could have had every doubt flood into his mind, and he was not qualified to do this, and yet that's what God was calling him to do. So think about that. You may be able to relate to that, how that feels. You know, have you thought this? Have you said, if I start it and fail? Or the one phrase that I hear so many times from young people, even from adults, I hear this too. I don't have what it takes. I just can't do it. Or more importantly, I'm not qualified to do that. You see, that's exactly why it is imperative that we diligently seek God. Because, and this is sort of a play on a John Maxwell quote, but because God doesn't always call the equipped, but he always equips the called. In other words, so even the idea of those of you who have leaned into being deacons, and that was a fresh class this year, of folks who stepped in, who's accepted Jovita, who are stepping into being part of what is probably one of the most important ministries that this church has to its membership, is to care for and to offer just physical well-being to those that are part of our church family. You see, we only can do it with God's help. And so I want you to think about your current habits in particular. And here's where this has to be really, really practical. Think about your current habits. What is one change that you could make today that would put you on the path that God has intended for you? What is one thing? Not 7, 20, 50 things, just one thing that you could do today that would put you on the path to where God would have you be more engaged. Imagine what you could do for the kingdom if you were a little more physically healthier? Who could you bless, or how could you honor God by returning the tithe if you were financially free? If your relationship with Christ was stronger, how much bolder could you be in the witness to invite others to be a part of the kingdom? See, when we realize that God has given us everything we need to do, everything He wants us to do, our lives begin to change. Let me say that again. When we realize that God has given us everything we need to do, everything He wants us to do, our lives begin to change. You see, that's how we put hope into action. We define the problem. We diligently seek after God. And then it's real simple. It's the real simple third part is do the work. You got to do the work. You know, year after year, January comes and goes, and we all find ourselves, for the most part, in the same place. But I'm making a commitment to you that for me and my story and my journey, this is going to be a different year. There are things that I've put into place, things that I've begun to do, that I've started doing weeks ago in terms of how I conduct my life, the things that I'm doing early in the morning, of setting aside time to pray for you, to pray for my family, to be engaged in God's word. Now, there's sacrifice in that because I really don't, I don't mind getting up too early, and I do enjoy my cup of coffee. But what I found in those moments is by doing that, by getting up that extra half hour at 5:30 and leaning into it, is a certain freedom that I'm actually sensing God working in a way that I'm not quite sure where it's going to go. And so this year will be different. I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions because we know that doesn't even last 3 weeks. We are talking about putting into place steps and processes that are empowered by the Spirit of God to change the trajectory of our life from this day forward. Because you see, your story is changing. And the season that you find yourself in today is not the season you were in even maybe a week ago for some of us. And yet it's in that if we are hanging on to who God is, that we can actually move in a direction we can see His faithfulness. Good intentions and actually changing, doing the work. That's it. It's about mapping it out. Now, Nehemiah did this when he got to Jerusalem. After inspecting the damage to the wall personally and acknowledging the extent of the damage, he gathered the leaders of Jerusalem, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and said to them this: "You know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Now, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me, and they replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." So they began the good work. The good news is you're going to do the work, but the great news is you're not going to do it alone. That's the promise of this. God is with you, and others can and should be with you as well. So don't think for a moment that your work goes on without opposition. And that's where I thought it was just interesting in our conversation in the adult hour to be reminded, and even be reminded what Priscilla Shire said to these students. You need to know that there is an enemy that will work against you, that he will place in the back of your mind the fact that you don't have what it takes, that we're not going to get to be where we want to be, that we're always going to be chasing these things, and he wants us to live in that moment. But don't think for a moment that that isn't the way it's going to continue. And so we need to see that as we lean to what God is calling us to be as a person, as a son and daughter of His, or what He's calling us to be as the church, that we have to lean into this together. Nehemiah shows that he's ready to face the opposition. And I love his mindset because he says this later on: "I am going to do a great work and I cannot come down." In fact, there's a point where he's being engaged by some of his friends to say, "Hey, we need to sit and talk with you." He says, "Like, no, you don't understand. I don't have time for this. I have work that God wants me to do. I've got great work, in fact, that He wants me to do, and so I can't come down." And so you're going to hear a voice inside your head. Those of us that serve on property, or those of us that serve in finance, or those of us that are part of deacons, there's always going to be these needs that are going to come against us. These things that are going to come at us to say we don't have what it takes, we don't have enough to make it all happen, and yet we need to see that if we have a mindset that God is going to provide. And that's not just being willy-nilly, it's actually trusting in what we know to be true about Him. That we're going to hear voices inside our head that's going to say, Satan's going to try to say, "What do you think you're doing? Do you think you can really go to these things?" I mean, I think of our friends who come here, and we offer the space every Thursday night to friends in Narcotics Anonymous and to our friends in Alcoholics Anonymous, who constantly are engaged in this understanding, you know, and so they're a great model for us to look at. I mean, I know, as I've talked to those men and women, you know, where they hear these voices, do you think that you can really get clean by going to these meetings once a week? Do you really think this is going to make a difference in your life? You love how this stuff makes you feel. You'll never quit. But see, if we look to who Jesus is and what he wants to offer us, these things can actually change. So if anything in life doesn't go the way your way, you're always going to fly off the handle. Do you really think that you can control your temper? I mean, that's partly how the evil one wants to put us in this thing, that this disconnect between each other. Because did you hear what she said about me? Or did you hear what so-and-so said about you? And it's these things that we need to just hang on to the truths of what God wants us to know. So remember, you don't just have hope. You have hope in action. It's inspired by God, by diligently seeking him and receiving his help and guidance. And you put hope in action by becoming resolute in your determination that we're going to do the work, as Nehemiah says. The results stunned and shocked everyone watching. I mean, think about this. This wall, not the wall that we're talking about in our country, but the wall around Jerusalem that had laid in ruins for 152 years, the wall that everyone thought could never be rebuilt, was rebuilt. Do you have any idea how long it took? Have you read the story? 52 days. A wall that had been in total disrepair was rebuilt around the city of Jerusalem in 52 days. You see, God did exceedingly and abundantly more than they could have ever imagined possible. And that's what God wants to say to each one of us. Are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to really trust that my provisions are good enough for you? That I am going to care for you? Because those are the promises that we know to be true from Scripture. God did exceedingly and abundantly more than they could have ever imagined possible. And the reason why we look at these great stories in the Bible, and that's why, again, you need to be reading the Bible, is to know that God wants to do the same thing for you. See, when you define the problem and when you seek him, and when we end up doing the work, he turns the pages of your life. So we need to realize that. We need to realize that what God wants to do through us will be limited, though, by the work we are unwilling to do. And that's the hard part of this, that we need to lean into. So my question for you to think about, I've given you a couple already, but one more thing just to sort of ponder. So what tangible steps will you take this year? And maybe not even this year, maybe even today, maybe even this week. Do you need accountability? Do you need somebody to walk with you to help you understand things at a different level? Do you need a mentor or a trainer? One of the things that I'm excited about, and we're just beginning to lay into the process of doing some small groups. And so over the season of Lent, we want to walk through a very intentional, and it's going to take more out of you. It's going to take more out of you in the sense of your time and your talents, because the idea is we really want to have everyone in a small group that would do life together for a short period of time over the season of Lent, to get to know each other, but to also encourage each other. We're actually going to do it based on a study from Rick Warren on 40 Days of Prayer. And so in that, it's going to mean that we're going to need people to open their homes. We're going to need people to be small group leaders. And you'll be receiving information about that. We've already thought through a list of people we'd like to ask to consider that. And then those of you that aren't going to host, we want you to think about leaning into being part of those groups. You see, we need to understand that if this year we want it to be different, it takes God and others in your life to put this hope in action long term. You see, alone, most of us likely will fall short because we're not created to do our lives alone. God didn't make us that way. We're created for community, and we're created for relationships, and we all get better together. And with God serving as the center, that sort of connects us. And so when Nehemiah was building the wall, he wasn't doing it alone. There were multiple different groups and people that assisted him. None were masons or builders, but they came together under God's direction to put hope in action and accomplish a great work. So go back to the front of your worship notes. And where you wrote down there, this year I hope to, know that God and we as a church are with you in that, to put hope in action. And so imagine that years from now, and this is just my closing thought here, that because of your faithfulness of what choices you'll make even today or tomorrow, what we're going to lean into over the next few weeks as a church, over this early part of the season into Lent, how there may be somebody that will say to you, thank you. Thank you for leaning into it, for being part of it, for serving as an elder, for serving as a deacon, for loving on us. Thank you for being honest about these things. Thank you for slowing down and being involved in my life. Because we're all better because you were involved in someone else's life. So what can you do? You can define the problem, and you can diligently seek God.